السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Let's make dua before we start. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم افتح لنا بالخير واختم لنا بالخير وجعل واقب أمورنا بالخير بيدك الخير إنك على كل شيء قدير. ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين وجعلنا للمتقين إماما. اللهم ألف بينهما كما ألفت بين سيدنا آدم وحواء عليهم الصلاة والسلام. اللهم ألف بينهما كما ألفت بين سيدنا ونبينا إبراهيم وسارة وهاجر عليهم الصلاة والسلام. اللهم ألف بينهما كما ألفت بين سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا مولانا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وخديجة الكبرى وعائشة رضي الله تعالى عنهما وجميع أزواج النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. اللهم ربنا لا تؤاخذنا إن نسينا واخطأنا. ربنا ولا تحمل علينا إصرا كما حملته على الذين من قبلنا. ربنا ولا تحملنا ما لا طاقة لنا به. واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا. أنت مولانا فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي. يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. هن لباس لكم وأنتم لباس لهن. صدق الله العظيم. Ulama Ikram, most respected brothers, this is just one part of a long ayat. We know that it is the occasion of nikah, and on the occasion of nikah, it's appropriate that something should be discussed about the nikah. Nikah, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam termed as his way of life. And whatever Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wasalam terms as his way of life, then there is great khair in it, there's great barakat in it, there is great wisdom in it, for the entire ummah. The entire ummah, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has left behind for them an example. And his example is the best of all examples. After Allah, he was the greatest. And therefore, the example that he left behind for the ummah is the best of all examples. Wa innaka la'ala khuluqin azim. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala caused him to marry many wives so that the ummah may learn how he treated his wives. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, na'uzu billah, was not full of lust or evil desires or passion. Na'uzu billah min zalik. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, his communication with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala and his istihzar, his conscious awareness of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's presence at all time was so high and so great that we cannot even imagine. For him to associate with wives was not an ordinary thing. That Nabi of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala who was shown what is in Jannat, he who knew what Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has created in paradise for the believers, and he who had so much of responsibility, so much of obligation and duties, and he who was burdened with this great responsibility of conveying this message of deen in very difficult and trying times, where did he have the time, na'uzu billah, to fulfill any kind of lust? So it was not a question of lust. It was a question of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam showing the ummah what is the purpose of this whole marriage. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala mentions very clearly in the Quran Sharif that it is one of his signs. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala describes it as his signs that he created maids for you from amongst, from yourselves, from your own kind. That is what it means. وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَنْ خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا. It is one of his signs, of the many, many signs that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has mentioned in the Quran Sharif. Allah Ta'ala says it is of his signs that he created for you mates from yourselves, meaning of your own kind, human being. Hazrat Hawa was created, everyone knows, of the left rib of Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu was salam. Allah Ta'ala could have created the wives for the human being of the jinn kind, of the angel kind, but then there wouldn't have been compatibility. So therefore Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala made the wives also human beings. And if she was created of the left rib of Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu was salam, and we say the rib is bent and crooked, therefore Nabi alayhi salatu was salam says that you must not try to straighten this rib. If you do, then it is going to break, it's going to crack. The mafhum of that hadith is this, that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has created this woman of the left ribs. So now you must benefit from this woman, just as you benefit from your left rib. Just because our left rib is crooked, nobody has gone for an operation. That my rib is crooked, so therefore operate it. So we have to be very careful and on our guard, that we should not say such things which will create dissension, disunity, friction, fights, quarrels, arguments, which inevitably leads thereafter to divorce and breakdown of marriages. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was the most caring and the most loving. As far as his wives are concerned, he was so caring and so loving. And in spite of all his responsibilities and obligations, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he took into consideration the needs, the requirements, and the natural instincts of his wives. He smiled, he spoke to them cheerfully. When he entered the home, he greeted them. He even helped them to do what we may term as beneath our dignity. If we have to help our wives to knead the dough and to sweep the house or to do the beds, we will consider it below our dignity. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam did not consider it below his dignity. Who could have been a better example than Rasul-e Pak sallallahu alayhi wasalam? I mentioned in my other bayans also, but we always have a new audience when it comes to nikahs. So I repeat that one very important point, that at present each and every one of us, we are demanding rights, rights, my right, my right. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala also mentioned in the Quran Sharif the rights of wives and of husbands. So much of hadiths there are of rights. But if all of us are going to take the book of rights and start reading out, then there's not going to be happiness and joy in that kind of marriage. Because then we are going by the book, we are becoming lawyers. We are referring to chapter so and so and verse so and so, demanding our right. Whereas we should go by the book of ihsan, that fulfill the rights of the wives, and then tolerate and bear with patience any kind of difficulty that we experience in our association with them. In fact, that hadith sharif which we have been discussing over the past few weeks, in which the character of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has been presented in such a beautiful manner. One of the things that is mentioned in that hadith sharif, where we came and stopped last week, was وَلَا يَدْفَعُ السَّيِّئَةَ بِالسَّيِّئَةِ وَلَكِنْ يَعْفُ وَيَغْفِرُ. That Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, in that hadith Qudsi, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala describing his quality, his attributes, Allah ta'ala says he does not repel evil with evil. He overlooks and forgives. This was the beautiful character of Rasul-e Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that there was tremendous amount of forgiveness in his life. We are not prepared to forgive little faults of our wives. How do we expect peace and happiness in the homes? At present, how many homes can we really say are Jannat on earth? Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala desired that our lives with our wives should be Jannat on earth. Allah does not want us to live a life of unhappiness, friction, disunity, quarrels, arguments. But it is all because we are demanding our rights. We are not prepared to fulfill the rights of the wives, and the wives are not prepared to fulfill the rights of the husbands. They too are going by the book of rights. But I always mention that when it's an audience of men, then we should give them what are the rights of the wives. And to the audience of women, we should tell them what are the rights of the husbands. Otherwise, the men folk go back after listening to the bayan and they say, this is what Maulana said, these are my rights. So again, we come back to the same thing. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala in the ayat which I recited at the beginning of the khutbah, He says that they are a garment to you and you are a garment to them. And we know that what does a garment do? A garment gives us protection. It gives us protection from the heat of the sun, from the cold weather. We will put on a garment, jersey, whatever it is giving us protection. The garment gives us dignity. Imagine a person if he had to come to the masjid now, dressed in a manner not befitting this occasion. If he comes without his shirt, without his vest, without his, and wearing shorts, what would we think of that person? So in the garment also Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has given dignity. Those people who have gone to the nudist clubs, well, they want to live a life of animals, so that's good luck to them. But Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala wants man to live in a dignified manner. So the garment gives the person protection. Then many a times a person has different kinds of scars on his body. Operation, the doctor had to slice his chest, or some other scars and wounds and sores. So when the person wears the garment, it covers all those weaknesses. It also covers the person's private parts. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, they are a garment to you and you are a garment unto them. Which means that just like that, the husband should try to be protective. The wife should be doing the same thing. They should not go around advertising and propagating the weakness and faults of their husbands, and the husband should not be doing that about their wives. They should be a protection for each other, giving each other comfort, solace. They should be consoling each other. They should be helpful to each other. They should be an assistant in their deen. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, the sahaba said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, if we had known what is good wealth, we will try and acquire it. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, that what is good wealth? There is no harm, there is no sin if a person acquires halal livelihood. He goes to the business, he earns in a halal way. There is no deceiving, there is no stealing, there is no false oaths and qasams being taken. There is no hijacking of containers. The person is not defrauding anybody. If he's earning in a halal way, then it's a kind of a jihad in these times. The person who makes an effort to earn halal, 100% halal, he will be greatly rewarded, because it is difficult, especially when the markets are flooded with so much of stolen goods and other such kind of fraudulent activities in business deals. So at such a time, this person is making an effort that I want to please my Allah. I am earning not just to fill my belly and to leave behind huge properties for my children, displeasing my beloved Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I want to make sure that whatever I earn is nothing but halal. So it is a kind of a jihad in these days. So there is nothing wrong with property acquired in that manner, of which he gives his zakat also, he gives charities also, he takes care of the needs, requirements, and a little bit of luxuries for his family, and at the same time he gives to the poor, needy, orphans, widows. Then there's nothing wrong with that. But Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam diverted their attention immediately. He said, "Afzaluhu lisanun zakir," that the best of wealth that you can acquire is a lisan, it's a tongue which is engaged in the remembrance of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Meaning that this tongue is not engaged in anything sinful. It does not mean that the whole day the person is reading tasbih. It means that when he uses or utilizes his tongue, then he is careful that this tongue must not create friction. It must not create disorder in the community. It must not slice the heart of my wife, of my child, of my brothers, of my sisters, of my neighbors, of my family. At present, this tongue is doing a lot of cutting and slicing. So this person is not engaging his tongue in any kind of disobedience to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. He is using his tongue in the remembrance of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, meaning that when he is talking with his children, there is a reason why he is talking to them in that manner. Why he is talking cheerfully with his wife? Why he is talking cheerfully with his neighbors? He is using this tongue to create happiness and joy in the hearts of people. It's not that every moment of his life is like a lion in the house, tearing away at the hearts of the wives. Why didn't you do this? Why is my food not ready? Why are my clothes not ironed? As if to say the wife was married just for those reasons. There is no doubt that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that who is a good wife? What is the thing that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned in that hadith? What Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned in another hadith is this, that mustafad al mu'minu ba'da taqwallah, that no person has acquired anything better after the taqwa of Allah. The most important thing is taqwa, that the person is restraining himself from anything that is displeasing to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. But if that person has got taqwa, which is a great ni'mat of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, then together with that, if he gets a wife, in amaraha ata'athu, that when he orders her to do something, she does it. In nazara ilayha sarrathu, and when he looks at her, then she pleases him. The person, when he says do this or do that, without demanding, without commanding, and without using any kind of force, when there is a good relationship between husband and wife, then the wife looks forward to doing things for the husband. It is unfortunate that we haven't learned how to live with our wives. Otherwise our homes will become jannat on earth. I can swear, take qasam in the masjid and tell you that. So when he looks at her, she pleases him. If he takes a qasam that you will do this or you will do that, she fulfills that. And when he is gone away from her, then she takes care of herself also. That means she doesn't get involved in any illicit relationship with any other person. And also, she takes care of his wealth and his property. Said if he gets something like that, then that is the best thing that he has got. And there are other things that have been mentioned too. But what I am getting across is this, that when will that wife be pleasing to the husband? When will she like to please the husband? When will she like to fulfill the needs and desires of the husband? When will she look forward to assisting him and helping him and caring for him? When he also tries to fulfill her rights. When he goes out of his way to console her, when he is caring, when he is loving, when he is sharing, and when he is overlooking her faults and her weaknesses. In fact, even if she has got some weakness and fault, then he looks at the other good qualities that she has. Because she has many, many good qualities besides those one or two weakness. So when he is going to do that, then this wife is also going to go out of her way. And if by chance she is such a woman that in spite of all the goodness in the husband, she is still ill-treating him or she is not giving him the joy and the happiness that a wife should give to her husband, then this husband considers that as a test from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, when he is going to be tolerant, patient and exercise forgiveness and he will overlook, then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will raise his status and position. Allah ta'ala elevates this person's position. Sometimes Allah gives them such stages which he may not be able to reach by means of his ibadat, of his zikr, of his tilawat, just by the tolerance over these type of things. So this is what is meant, that we have to be like a garment to them and they must be a garment unto us. That they must be protective, they too must not go around. But as I said, that this audience is of men. So our duty is this. One person, he had a very problematic wife, giving him endless problem. But he didn't complain to anybody, but finally it led to divorce. Afterwards they asked him, they said, what was the problem? Why did you divorce her? They said, before I divorced her, she was my wife. And it was not appropriate for me to go around telling people she's got this weakness, this weakness, this weakness. But she kept on demanding, she wants a separation and a divorce, so I divorced her. After I divorced her, now she's no more my wife. So now too, it's not right of me to go and keep on talking about what were her weak points. So he says, this is how, if a husband and wife live, sometimes it happens that no matter how much the person does, but still there is a problem. So at that time, try and resolve it in the manner that Islam has outlined. We have got direction, we have got guidelines for everything. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he married old women, he married young women. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam married widows. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he lived with Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha all her life until she passed away. That was his only wife. He didn't marry another woman. He was 25 when he married her. She was 40 years of age. And then she was about 50. Oh, he was about 50 when she passed away. But still Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam until then did not marry another woman. And all the children were born of her except Hazrat Ibrahim, who was of Maria Qibtiya. But the lessons that we learn in those marriages, if we have to go on, we can talk for hours and hours, but unfortunately the time on a Jummah day is very limited. So just in conclusion, that marriage, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, is my sunnat. It is my way of life. So the sunnat is not just the nakah tuha qabil tuha. That is not just the sunnat. All of us know the simple, easy sunnats. All the halwa and sweet sunnats we know. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, when he says that marriage is my sunnat, it's my way of life, then we are accepting that complete sunnat. Then in these days, in fact, you get the sawab of 100 martyrs if you have to fulfill those sunnats of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, which have, so to say, vanished from our homes, of how he treated his wives. So this was also a sunnat of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, his treatment of the wives, the complete package. If we implement that, then we can say that we have followed the sunnat of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and undertaken the marriage. But remember that no matter how much of sunnat you bring into your lives, but if we are not going to restrain ourselves from haram from day one of our marriage, and in fact from before the marriage, already so much of courting takes place. More than half a dozen people, believe me brothers, as Hazrat Khaja Azizul Hasan Madzub Rahmatullah Alayhi says, that dunya ka ajeeb haal hai, dekh ke dil kabab hai. At present the hearts are becoming like kebabs looking at what is happening. At least half a dozen people just in this 2 months, the past 2 months, they telephoned me to tell me, Maulana, we want to get married, but our parents are delaying the marriage. They are delaying the marriage for trivial reasons. And just last night too, whilst I was sitting with some visitors, a phone call comes, Maulana, this girl is now pregnant, but my mother and father are still not willing to allow us to get married. There is a delay, or they do not want to accept. Now she's pregnant, but still there is a delay. So what must I do now? Must I still wait to please my parents? You'll always say, must please the parents. So my advice to you, O parents, is this, that in these days, if there is a proposal that has been accepted, then don't delay the marriages. We spend hundreds of thousands of rands on so many useless things. But we cannot say, all right, even if you are studying, then we will spend another few thousand rand. But you live with us and carry on with your studies, but as long as you are married, so that you are not in sin. What kind of children will be born if we are going to allow them to continue this kind of relationship? So therefore, do not be the means and the cause of the destruction of marriages. Imagine 6 in just 2 months. How many are unreported? They are not even concerned about finding out. How many must have gone through abortions? One university girl from Johannesburg, she phones and tells me that I've already had 2 abortions, but still my parents are not prepared to allow us to get married. Nauzu billahi min zalik. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give us the realization that in following the way of life of Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we will find peace, happiness, contentment, satisfaction, joy, and all the best. And in displeasing our Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we are going to invite nothing but His wrath, His anger, and then that will bring destruction of the happiness of our lives. May Allah ta'ala bless this marriage. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give them long life, good health, and give them happiness in the marriage, and bless both of them with the tawfiq and the hidayat to stay totally away from anything and everything that is displeasing to Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whether it is in the walima that is going to take place, or even after marriage, they have the years that they are going to live together. Allah Ta'ala must give them the hidayat and give us the hidayat too. Then inshallah we'll find a very, very nice and a happy life. May Allah Ta'ala bless them also with of the coming of righteous and pious children into this world on account of this marriage. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين.